Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Here on the beautiful South Coast, we have such lovely wildlife around. Unfortunately, our cats, they're trained to hunt and kill at times. So we did
see... Well, not trained.
They're trained for
birth. You're training your cat to hunt and kill native wildlife, take a good hard look
it's
at
in
yourself.
Their DNA.
What's wrong with it? Yeah, but it is their natural instinct.
I've seen some of those you know, animals. Mothers of those kittens on A Current Affair and that sort of stuff, training their cats to do all the wrong things, you know, pushing away the camera and stuff with their paws.
If you're able to train your cat to do anything, come around to our place and train my cat Finnegan if you could. I'd love to get your help.
Yeah, but a few years ago, in all seriousness, there was a situation where it was getting pretty bad with cats killing wildlife, and there were those little bib sort of things that were released to try and stop them from hunting birds and things like that?
Yeah, it prevented them from, like, catching, so, like, they couldn't sort of put their paws off to... But I think most of it was just embarrassment. Like, the cat's
absolutely
like, I'm not going outside wearing this.
Yeah.
So they stayed indoors.
It's the equivalent when they have next to the dogs have a sign saying, I peed on the carpet or something like this. It's like a shame collar for the cat, so to speak. But Knox Council in Victoria, these guys have taken an even harder stance.
Okay.
When it comes to cats, they're actually introducing a cat curfew very soon.
From October 1, all these furry companions will live under a 24-hour curfew, only allowed outside if they stay on their owner's property. If they escape, owners will cop a $91 fine for the first offence and up to a $545 fine for repeat offending furballs.
Wow.
I like how they've got basically cat burglar music in the background. Like, you can just see them filming this segment. There's a cat trying to escape out the window with its claw, trying to cut a hole and escape like it's a jewel thief.
I'm picturing like a Fancy Feast commercial where the cat is like trying to pull off some sort of heist for cat food.
Exactly, that's
the kind of music they'd use for that.
Yeah, so this is a huge issue in the Knox City Council area, obviously. And well, it's for a good reason because as it turns out, they have been attacking the wildlife and things as well.
The council adding that cats that are allowed to roam freely are at greater risk of being lost or stolen, as well as becoming injured by cars, fighting with other animals, and being infected with diseases. They are also a danger to birds and wildlife and often disturb neighbours by spraying, fighting, yowling and digging in gardens.
Good.
I have to ask a question. What's yowling? What's a yowl?
It's like, meow.
So it's like that horrible noise they make.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. No, thank you.
Why don't they just impose a cat lockdown? It's like they're doing it to the humans. Yeah. Why not the cats?
I know.
The cats are still allowed to go out and exercise and things like that.
As we know, cat owners, they're a different breed. They're pretty passionate at times when it comes to defending the felines. It's always been a tradition of cats versus dogs as well.
Mm.
They've actually had some support groups get together in this council area to try and fight against the council when it comes to this issue. I just like how good the arguments are, you know, against this sort of thing. Take a listen to this one.
Cats, they cover up their business. Dogs, they go around, they poop in your front yard and don't do anything about it.
So they're irresponsible. They don't clean up their own poo, apparently, you know.
No, unless it's a very well-trained dog that can carry its own bags and
little thumbs and stuff.
Scoop its own poop. But, they are right there. The cats have the instinct to sort of bury their business.
Yeah, I think this young girl's heard of Garfield and seen any Garfield film clips. He didn't do anything like that whatsoever.
No, I think he expected Dave to do that.
But it went
to don't want to tidy up after Garfield after he's had a post-lasagna bog.
And also, it reaches a new level because they've interviewed a couple of people around that local council area, but this woman just took it to the next level. Listen to this.
Our kids, our future kids, won't ever see a cat again. They won't know what a cat is because they're all locked up. It's ridiculous.
It sounds like that lady's gone a little bit off the spectrum when it comes to what the actual topic is and stuff like that as well. But, you know, hearing her speak, unfortunately, she's trying to raise her point, but all I'm hearing is just this.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
Moved into a new house and already met Nancy, who's on one side of us. We've got Shirley over the back, and already they've given us lemons and apple jam, and it's amazing. We've got good neighbours. It's like the TV show, but come to life.
I'm glad you've had good neighbours. I've had some shockers over the years.
Oh, yeah.
Moved into first house with my partner. The neighbours used to be up till 3 o'clock in the morning blasting music loud, and the walls were paper thin. That sounded like there was a nightclub next door.
Oh, okay.
And then when I was especially little, when we lived in Wollongong, our neighbours robbed us when we were away on holidays.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the same neighbour that used to borrow our phone to make phone calls from time to time. It was great.
They're the negative neighbours. We're looking for positive neighbours this
good
morning because I'm excited to have some really good neighbours, it seems. I don't think we've had neighbours like this since we were living on the Gold Coast and we were in this block of units, and we were kind of all orphans around Christmas time. Like everyone had family elsewhere. So Christmas time, we'd all go down to Jason, I think his name was. It was a few years back now. Mm. And they'd get out the trestle tables and everyone would bring down their leftovers from Christmas lunch.
That's it.
And then we'd all sort of be a big neighbourly family and have a little Christmas dinner.
Like a community bubble and squeak.
Yeah, kind of. And it was really nice. You know, that sense of community that you're looking for.
It is.
So
it is good.
We're looking for the good neighbours out there.
Yeah, the good ones.
Hopefully you live next to some. If you do, give us a call, 1-300-92-1250. Elizabeth from Naroom has already called. Morning, Elizabeth. You got some good neighbours, do you?
We live on, you know, small acreages, but they're the kindest people. There are three generations there. And Kay Bruce, just, I guess you'd say the matriarch, they've had so many tragedies and losses in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, they're just so kind. They're there for everyone. I mean, even in isolation, obviously, now we can't socialise, but we sort of yell at each other over the fence. And
in a good way.
We each other with a cup of coffee in the distance. But they're just so thoughtful and kind to everyone else.
Oh, that's great. Oh,
that's great.
What about when it comes to the big events like Christmas time? Mm. Do they ever come around for Christmas lunch or do you go over to their place at all?
Certainly do. That's right.
Oh, that's amazing.
Because I'm from Sydney. And, of course, with the bushfires, I couldn't get to Sydney. So, you know, they very kindly had us over there and they come here. But their house is more conducive. It's one of those, you know, sort of friendly places.
Yeah, when the neighbours have got a flat screen, a spa and a pool, yeah, it's a bit more inviting than my house.
Well, absolutely, yes. But, you know, that's not always accessible. So we do our best out here in the wilds of Naruma.
Oh, that sounds awesome, Elizabeth. Sounds like you've got some really good neighbours. Hold on to them.
Well, that's right. And that, oh, I know it sounds so cliched and corny. I never even watched that television show. But, you know, it does make a difference to your quality of life.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much for chatting with us. Appreciate it.
That's a pleasure. Bye.
See ya. Yeah. Good neighbours. They're hard to come by.
They are.
Maybe you've got some living next door to you. We want to hear about your awesome neighbours. Lisa's from Naroom has been waiting on hold. Hello, Lisa. You got some good neighbours?
Well, Ross and Sue live next door. They moved in about 10 years ago and they have just been amazing neighbours. They love fishing, so they're out fishing all the time. They always bring home a feed of fresh fish for us.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, some squid sometimes.
Do they scale and gut the fish for you as well? That would take them to the... Oh, wow. Ross and Sue.
Yeah, clean, filleted and put in bags and delivered to the door. What more could you want?
That's amazing. Who took the first steps in this relationship? Did they approach you guys first to introduce themselves or was it the other way around?
I can't remember. It was so long ago. I can't remember, to tell you the truth.
Just taking the bins out, your eyes met, and that was it.
Yeah, that's it. And they've always loved our kids and loved our dogs and they feed our chickens over the fence. And it's just one of those great neighbourships that we have.
They just feed the chickens though, right? They don't do to the chickens what they do to the fish. Right?
No,
here's a roast chicken for you, Lisa. Where did this come from?
But they do help themselves to some fresh eggs sometimes because chickens will often go over into their yard and lay eggs in there. So if they lay in there, then they get
kicked. Most neighbours are having to chuck the tennis ball back over the fence. They're like, oh, you've left some eggs over. This is great.
That's it.
Sound like some awesome neighbours. Do you guys feel like you have to one-up each other all the time to get one back over them? What sort of favours do you do for them most of the time?
They actually go away a fair bit. So we look after their house for them when they're not here and... I actually said to them the other day, when are you coming home? Because we have to make sure we mow the lawn before they get back because they've been gone for a while.
All right.
But we also, if we catch fish, we share it with them. And as I said, we share our eggs. And, yeah, it's good. It's a good relationship.
Oh, that's awesome.
Good to have good neighbours.
It definitely is. It sounds like you've got a couple of gems living next door with Ross and Sue, Lisa. So say hello to them when they get back from their trip. And don't forget to do those lawns.
I'll definitely send my husband over to do that.
All right. He's got his weekend sorted out. Thank you, Lisa.
There's something in the water in Naruma.
Seems like it, yeah. Some good neighbours in Naruma. And I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, I'm either going to have to getting a green thumb. Well, I mean, Coles isn't too far away, so I can always
start buying some things and be like, look what I got from my garden that's imaginary.
There's some fresh lettuce that I grew.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
Up in Queensland, there's a 44-year-old bloke. Most people just know him as Michael Atkinson.
Okay, yeah.
But for others, they know him as Outback Mike.
Whoa!
Yeah. Which is funny, because down here, I'm known as Shut-In Brad. My survival skills extend to living off the pantry and hunting for lost TV remotes.
That's a good skill to have, though.
Outback Mike completely different breed of animal. This guy can live off the land, and he has taken his survival skills to the next level. He has just completed a 49-day trip out on the water in a handcraft canoe.
Outback Mike is bound for Booby Island near the tip of Cape York, relying on nothing more than a hand-carved wooden canoe to get him through. The father of two survived at sea for 49 days.
First of all, I just want to say Booby Island sounds a lot more enticing to me than Forex Island. Like, if I have a choice between Booby Island, I don't know. I'm guessing what's on Booby Island, but yeah.
I just imagine the conversation before he leaves, if he's got a wife. He's like, all right, honey, I'm off on my journey to find Booby Island. I'll be back in a little while.
She's like, you're going where?
Yeah. I like how people just do these things. Like, you watch movies and you're like, this would be horrible, like Castaway things, like if this was to actually happen in real life. And people go out and do this sort of stuff on purpose. It amazes me.
He videoed the whole thing out back, Mike, from like his carving of the canoe. I'm like, how do you even start on that? I'd be like looking up YouTube videos like how to hand carve a canoe. So Mike did that, and then he filmed his adventure from Townsville, as you heard, up to Cape York, 1,500 kilometres.
Jeez.
All of that time spent by himself. You're like, what happened here? Why would Outback Mike do this? Mm. Did the guys at Flight Center really screw him over on his holiday? Or
was he trying to prove a point?
He was. He was actually trying to recreate a journey. This was a journey that was started way back in, I think, 1846 by a Queensland settler called James Morrill. It was him and 21 other people that made the same journey that Outback Mike just recreated.
So 21 people made it onto this raft, and they sailed for 42 days. And they drifted through the Great Barrier Reef. Mm. Most of them died after about 6 days.
See, that to me is a red flag as to why you should not do this, Outback Mike. What were you thinking?
Oh, my God.
Still safer than booking a berth on the Ruby Princess. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't know why you'd do that. So he basically survived on fish the whole time, did a lot of fishing. He's an avid fisherman and, you know, basically scavenging off the land and, I don't know if scavenging is the right word.
Scavenging.
Making him sound like a bin chicken here.
Parasiting. He's a parasite off the land. Mooching
foraging.
Off the land.
Foraging is the right term, I think. And, of course, the first thing he thought of when he returned to dry land was, you know, getting a good feed.
Psychologically, I definitely just feel like stuffing myself all the time.
Yeah. I would think after 49 days of pretty much just eating fish, you're just like, give me all the chips you've got. Like, I know there's minimum chips. I want maximum chips. Give me all the chips you have. So, yeah, he was pretty chuffed with his adventure. He's going to turn everything into a documentary.
Okay, cool.
But, you know, he's dressing it up as recreating the journey of James Morrill. But I'm really just thinking some dads would just do anything to get out of lockdown with the kids. He's just gone.
Well played,
what?
Sir.
Homeschooling. I'm off to travel on the water in my hand-carved canoe. Of course, the joke's on Outback Mike. Once he got back, he found out Jonathan Lapali was there waiting for him. The family had voted him out of the house. It's like, the
tribe has spoken.
Poor old Mike's torch has been extinguished. So it's back to the canoe for him.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy. Weekdays from 6.